بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه الطيبين الطاهرين. اللهم لا سهل إلا ما جعلته سهلا، وأنت تجعل الحزن إذا شئت سهلا. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا، إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا، وانفعنا بما علمتنا، وزدنا علما. I start with the name of Allah. I praise Him and thank Him. I ask Allah to raise the rank of Prophet Muhammad, but to protect his nation from whatever he feared for his nation. In our last lesson, we were talking about one of the great companions of Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wassalam, one of the 10 companions given the news to be in paradise. We were talking about Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiyallahu anhu. And we mentioned that he has a relation in blood with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and that he was known for his skill in archery. And one of his qualities that is distinguishing, that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam made dua for him to make Sa'd's dua fulfillable by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he was known that whenever he made a dua, it would be fulfilled. And we mentioned that some people fabricated things against Sa'd radiyallahu anhu when he was a governor of the area of Kufa, and Umar was the one who appointed him, that he made a dua against this fabricator, and this person grew up to be an older person doing indecent things, saying that the dua of Sa'd had hit me. Nukmilu inshaAllah, we will continue inshaAllah to talk more about this great companion, Sa'd ibn Malik, or Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas. Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas said, we used to go on campaigns, military campaigns, ghazwa, with the Prophet alayhi salatu wassalam, and sometimes we don't have food except the leaves of the trees. And because of what we eat, because we have been eating these leaves for a while, when a person defecates, his defecation would be as solid as that of a camel, and it would not break down because it was very dry. And he said that this person who was from Banu Asad, he wants to discipline me, wants to say something against me, teach me how to pray. He speaks against me that I don't know how to pray. I would be a loser if I need their teaching me of how to pray. Because, radiyallahu anhu, Sa'd was one of the best companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. A person would not be among the best of the companions and still be an ignorant person about how to pray 5 times a day. It is mentioned in the book Siyarun Nubala, from the route of Ibn al-Musayyib, Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib, or al-Musayyib, that a man used to cuss Ali ibn Abi Talib Talha and Az-Zubayr radiallahu anhum. And Sa'd would tell him to stop doing that. He would forbid him to do that. And he would tell him, do not cuss my brothers. But this person would refuse to stop doing this cussing. So Sa'd made wudu, prayed 2 rak'ahs, and then made dua. Then after that, a camel came through the people. People were standing there and he went through them. So people opened the way for it. And then went to that person who was cussing Ali, Talha and Az-Zubayr. And took him, put him on the floor, put its chest on the person's body until this camel crushed the body of this person and he died. So Ibn al-Musayyib, or al-Musayyib, who is narrating the event, he said, I saw the people following Sa'd after this incident and telling him, congratulations, Abu Ishaq, your dua was fulfilled. One time, Sa'd, one of his grandchildren, said that his grandfather, Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, one time said, Ya Rab, Bani Yasigar. He said, Oh Lord, my children are young. فَأَطِلْ فِي عُمُرِي حَتَّى يَبْلُغُوا. So he said, Oh Allah, extend my lifetime until my children become pubescent, adults. And after he made this dua, he lived 20 years. So 20 years after he made his dua. And of course we know that the dua does not change the will of Allah. It means that if a person said, Oh Allah, give me and give me and give me, it does not mean that if Allah gave him, it means Allah had changed his will for what this person would have. Whatever Allah will eternally shall happen without any delay or any change. The dua does not block the will of Allah from happening, does not delay what Allah will to happen from happening. So the dua is a kind of ibadah, is one type of worship. We are ordered in the Quran and in the Sunnah to ask Allah for things. ادعوني استجب لكم in the Quran. Allah says, you know, ask me and I'll fulfill it for you. And the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام said, الدعاء هو العبادة أو مخ العبادة. That the dua is a good kind of worship. So we make dua asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us certain things, whether those things are mundane, worldly things, or, inshallah, things that benefit us on the Day of Judgment. So, such dua, for the sake of Allah, is recommended, especially for things that have benefit in the hereafter. So the dua itself does not change the will of Allah. Just as we know, Allah and His attributes do not change, because change is a sign of being created, and Allah is the creator, He is not created. So by living 20 years, it means he lived 20 years because Allah had willed for him to make the dua and to live 20 years after that. Among the merits of this great companion Sa'd, that Allah granted him the honor of invading Iraq and opening that land that was under the control of the Persians in the battle that we mentioned in detail in previous classes, Al-Qadisiyah, during the time of Umar's caliphate. When the Muslims knew that the Persians have united under the leadership of Yazdajard, and Umar sent for the Muslims to put their forces together to invade Persia. And he asked his own council, Umar, who should be the commander of such an army against the Persians, and people pointed at Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, and that's why he went out, left the area to Iraq, leading 4,000 fighters. And then Umar ibn Khattab started reinforcing Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas from different tribes, from Ghatafan, from Qais, Tamim, Asad, and other tribes, until the army under Sa'd became about 30,000 fighters. And then when they went to Al-Qadisiyah, a place that is about 45 miles from Al-Kufa, this important, as you already know, this important battle took place. Rustum was the military commander, and they had a very serious defeat. The thousands of these mages were killed. And as a result, the Muslim army went into Iraq, went into Persia, and many cities of the Persian Empire were under the control of the Muslims. Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas he prayed in the palace of Kisra, and the Muslims, as we mentioned in previous lessons, had a lot of spoils that were left behind by the Persian Kisra emperor. So when this happened, Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu had written to Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, asking him, why did the skin of the Arabs, those soldiers who left Arabia and went to Iraq, fought the Persians, what happened to their skins, the color of their skin and the skin themselves? What happened to them? Why did it get affected? Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas wrote back to Umar that it is the air in the area of Iraq is different from the air in Arabia. So because of the change of the climate or the air, this affected the bodies of these Arabs. So Umar told him, these Arabs is not suitable for them, does not fit them except what fit their camels. And he sent two companions, Salman and Hudhayfa, to scout the area in Iraq. And he told them, find something which is on a land, but also close to water. But there is no ocean between me and you, he said to them. And as a result, Salman, radiallahu anhu, went west of the Euphrates, the river in Iraq. And Hudhayfa went to the land which is east of the Euphrates River. And then they met at an area which would become Al-Kufa. And they liked the air and the, you know, weather there. So they wrote to Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas about it. And Sa'd had already finished opening all the main areas of Persia. So he came to them. He came there, that was in the year 17 Hijri. And what he did, he ordered an archer to shoot an arrow towards east and another one towards west. And then he said, wherever these two arrows fell, now you're going to build a city beyond these two areas. And as a result, this Kufa was built, the city of Kufa was built. And Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas ordered to have a masjid built in the central part of the city. And he made the headquarters of the emir there in that area. Now, one time his nephew Hashim ibn Utbah said to him, to Sa'd, he said, here are 100,000 swords, means 100,000 people with swords, who believe that you should be a caliph or you should be a governor, an official. So Sa'd responded, he said, out of these 100,000 swords you're mentioning, I would like to have one sword with which if I hit a believer, it does not hurt him. But if I hit an unbeliever, it cuts him up. Meaning that I don't want people, you know, to holler, you know, holler for me and make me a ruler and so on. What I want is to support the religion of Islam. Ibn Abi Shayba, one of the great scholars of Hadith, in his history book, narrated that the toughest companions of Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam were four: Umar, Ali, Az-Zubayr, and Sa'd. Umar, Ali, Az-Zubayr, and Sa'd. And when the difference between the companions happened, like Muawiyah and Ali and so on, Sa'd chose to just go away from the area, isolate himself. He bought a land and then he lived in it, did not participate in any sides of such differences between the companions. Jarir is one of the companions, passed by Umar, and Umar asked him about Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas. So he said, I left him in his governorship while being governor, with being the most honorable person. He had power, but he was the least harsh with people, with the citizens. He was, to his citizens, to his followers, like the kind mother, compassionate with them. He would, you know, do things that are good for them. And he was the most brave, the bravest, and the most beloved people of Quraysh. People loved him a lot. And when Umar, you know, was dying, he said, if the imara, if being the ruler, was given to Sa'd, then that's good. Or else the one who becomes in charge, let him seek the help of Sa'd, the consultation of Sa'd. Because when I removed him from his governorship, I didn't remove him because he was a traitor or he was powerless. Means when I took him off the position, he was a good and trustworthy person to me. I didn't accuse him of anything that would be shameful. And Umar, as we mentioned, had assigned him to be a governor in Al-Kufa in the year 21. People complained about him. And then Uthman radiallahu anhu appointed him when he became the caliph. Later Uthman removed him and he replaced him with another person called Al-Walid ibn Uqba in the year 25. So he had these positions by these two caliphs. One time, Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, when he was close to his death, he asked that they bring him an outer garment that was worn out and was made of wool. So a wool outer garment that was worn out. He said, wrap me in it, shroud me in it. Means after I die and my body is washed, then wrap my body in it. Because I was wearing this outer garment, a jubbah. I was wearing this jubbah when I met with the idol worshippers in Badr, in the Battle of Badr. And I hid this jubbah for such a day, means for my death day, to be wrapped in it. So you could see how he was thoughtful about it. He wanted to be wrapped in something that, in clothing that he used for the sake of Allah in war against the enemy. Aisha, the daughter of Sa'd, said that her father told her, one time I got sick in Mecca, and the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, came to visit me. And then he passed his hand on my face, on my chest and my belly. And he said, "Oh Allah, cure Sa'd. Allahumma shfi Sa'da." So Sa'd commented that he said, as if I still imagine or perceive, I still feel the cool hand of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on my liver until today. Also, they said the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam went to visit Sa'd in Mecca, and he found him, the Prophet found Sa'd crying. The Prophet asked him, "Why are you crying?" Sa'd said, "I am afraid, I fear that I would die in the land that I immigrated from. I am worried, I fear for myself to die in the land from which I immigrated." You know that Muslims immigrated from Mecca to Al-Madina. So now he is in Mecca and he's worried that he would die in Mecca. And he said, just like Sa'd ibn Khawla died. There was another companion who died in his area of Hijrah. And the Arabs at that time, or the Muslims at that time, did not like to die in the land which they left to another land. They wanted to die in the new land, not in the original land. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, "Allahumma shfi sa'da, Allahumma shfi sa'da, Allahumma shfi sa'da." Three times the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, "Oh Allah, cure Sa'd, cure Sa'd." Then Sa'd said, "Oh Messenger of Allah, I have a lot of money. And my daughter will be the one who will inherit me. Should I make a will where I give up all of my money to someone else? Should I just give up all of my money to other people?" The Prophet said no. So he said, "Should I give up in my will?" Means write down that 2/3 of my money will go to other people than my daughter or my family. The Prophet said no. He said 1/2. The Prophet said no. He said 1/3. And the Prophet said, "الثلث والثلث كثير." The Prophet told him that, yes, you can give 1/3 of your money to other than your inheritors, but the third is also still a lot of money to give other than your inheritors. He said, إِنَّ صَدَقَتَكَ مِن مَالِكَ صَدَقَةً. If you pay charity from your money, then there is a reward for it. وَإِنَّ نَفَقَتَكَ عَلَىٰ عِيَالِكَ صَدَقَةٌ. And the money that you spend on your family is also rewardable, is a good deed. وَإِنَّمَا تَأْكُلُ امْرَأَتُكَ مِن مَالِكَ صَدَقَةٌ. يعني الذي تأكل امرأتك من مالك يكون صدقة, يعني فيه ثواب. And the money that you spend on your wife is also rewardable. وَإِنَّكَ أَن تَدَعَ أَهْلَكَ بِخَيْرٍ أَوْ قَالَ بِعَيْشٍ خَيْرٌ مِّنْ أَن تَدَعَهُمْ يَتَكَفَّفُونَ النَّاسِ وَقَالَ بِيَدِهِ. So he told, the Prophet continued to tell him that it is better for you to leave your family behind you, means after you die, to leave your family in good condition, than, it's better to leave them that much in good condition financially, than to leave them and go and ask people for help. The Prophet, you know, pointed with his hand. So he told them it's better to leave them in good financial situation than to leave them poor and then they ask people to help them. And that's why Islamically, in inheritance, when a person dies, he cannot say in his will that I give more than 1/3 of my money to so and so. If he says I give half of my money to, let's say, X, his will would not be carried out. 1/3, yes, but not more than 1/3. The rest would be given to the inheritors as per Their share is mentioned in Al-Quran and in As-Sunnah. Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas died in his place, in his property, in an area called Al-Aqiq, which is about 10 miles from Al-Madinah Al-Munawwara, the city of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he died in the year 55 Hijri. And he was about 70 years old. And he was the last of the 10 companions to die. Of these 10 companions, okay? Then he, of course, his area, we said in Al-Aqiq, so they carried his body to Al-Madinah. Marwan ibn Hakam was the governor of Al-Madinah at that time, so he led the funeral prayer for Sa'd, radiallahu anhu. The wives of the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, requested that his body would be passed to the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And you know, their quarters are next to the masjid. And then they prayed Salatul Janaza for him before he was taken to be buried in Al-Baqi', the cemetery of the people of Medina. May Allah have His mercy on the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And may Allah have mercy on Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, radiyallahu anhu. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم